Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY26 conference call hosted by GEM Aromatics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar IR. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to the GEM Aromatics Quarter 4 and FY26 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and the financial highlights for the fourth quarter and the full year ended on March 31st, 2026. Today, we have with us the senior management team of GEM Aromatics Limited. We have Yash Parekh. He's the Managing Director and CEO. With him, we also have Kaksha Parekh. She's the Whole-Time Director, Chairperson, and CFO. Along with her, we have Shrenik G. Vora. He's a Non-Executive Director. We also have Suraj Shah. He's the Deputy CFO. Adit Shah, he's from CEO's office. And before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements, which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation and press release, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange. I now invite Yash to share his opening remarks on the company's performance for the fourth quarter and the full year ended on March 31st, 2026. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Gandhi. Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to GEM Aromatics' earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended FY26. On behalf of the management team, I would like to thank all of our investors, analysts, and stakeholders for joining us today and for continued trust and support. Q4 FY26 marked a quarter of sequential improvement for the company, reflecting gradual recovery in the operating environment and improving business momentum across key markets. Better clarity on USA tariffs and improving trade conditions supported stronger customer engagement, better volumes, and improved price realization during the quarter. We also continued to witness encouraging traction across non-mint products, particularly clove and its derivatives, in line with our long-term diversification strategy. In line with improving business environment, the company delivered sequential improvement in overall performance, while gross margins and EBITDA margins also moved closer to the normalized levels. We believe the business is gradually progressing towards a stronger operating phase, supported by improving demand trends, healthier product mix, and better operating leverage. A key highlight during the quarter was the continued progress at our Dahej Greenfield facility under Crystal Ingredients Private Limited. We commenced commercial productions of GemCool 5 Safranal on 26 February 2026, further strengthening our integrated portfolio across cooling agents, Safranal, clove oil, eugenol, and clove derivatives. During the quarter, also successfully completed a key global quality and compliance audit, reinforcing our focus on building a globally compliant manufacturing platform catering to leading international customers. I am also pleased to share that the Silvassa plant received the EcoVadis Platinum Sustainability Rating, placing the company among the top companies globally for sustainability performance. This recognition reflects our continued focus towards responsible manufacturing practices and sustainable business operations. At the same time, ongoing geopolitical developments continue to impact availability and pricing of key petrochemical raw materials such as phenol, resulting in elevated raw material prices and some impact on the near-term production timelines for the phenol-based derivatives. However, the plant remains production-ready, and we continue to closely monitor the situation while aligning the production plans accordingly. We believe these challenges are temporary in nature and expect conditions to gradually improve as external issues soften. Over the last few years, aromatics has steadily evolved into a diversified and integrated specialty ingredients platform with capabilities across mint, clove, cooling, with expanded manufacturing infrastructure, increasing customer engagement, and a diversified product portfolio. We believe the company is well-positioned for its next phase of growth. Going forward, our focus remains on ramping up utilization at the Dahej facility, scaling high-value specialty products, strengthening long-term customer partnerships, and driving consistent improvement in operational performance. We believe the strategic investments undertaken over the last few years are now beginning to create stronger growth visibility and position the company well for long-term value creation. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to our CFO for a detailed discussion on the financial performance for the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Yash. I will now take everyone through the financial performance for the fourth quarter and full year ended FY26. Revenue from operations for the quarter stood at rupees 112 crore on a standalone basis as compared to rupees 84 crore in Q3 FY26, registering a sequential growth of 34%. While consolidated revenue stood at rupees 110 crore as compared to rupees 79 crore in the previous quarter, reflecting a sequential growth of 40%. This improvement was supported by better volumes, improved price realization across key product categories. Additionally, the company also witnessed improved traction across non-mint products, particularly glove and its derivatives, in line with its diversification strategy. Further, gross profit stood at rupees 26 crore on a standalone basis compared to rupees 15 crore in Q3 FY26, registering a sequential growth of 70%, while consolidated gross profit stood at rupees 34 crore as compared to rupees 20 crore in the previous quarter. Also reflecting a sequential growth of 70%, gross profit margins improved sequentially to 23.4% on a standalone basis and 30.5% on a consolidated basis. Similarly, EBITDA stood at rupees 15 crore on a standalone basis compared to 8 crore in the Q3 FY26, registering a sequential growth of 98%. While consolidated EBITDA stood at rupees 16 crore as compared to rupees 7 crore in the previous quarter, reflecting a sequential growth of 124%. EBITDA margins improved sequentially to 13.4% on a standalone basis and 14.2% on a consolidated basis. The improvement in margin was primarily driven by better price realization, improving volume and operating leverage benefits, and healthier product mix across key categories, with margins gradually moving towards normalized levels. Reported PAT stood at 12 crore on a standalone basis compared to 4 crore in Q3 FY26, registering a sequential growth of 182%, while consolidated PAT stood at rupees 1 crore as compared to a loss of rupees 5 crore in the previous quarter. Likewise, standalone cash PAT improved to rupees 13 crore from 6 crore in Q3 FY26, registering a sequential growth of 114%, while consolidated cash PAT improved from 10 crore from rupees 4 crore in the Q3 FY26, registering a sequential growth of 170%. However, profitability during the quarter continued to be impacted by higher depreciation following capitalization of a substantial portion of capex incurred towards the Dahej facility. Out of the total planned capex of approximately 270 crore for the Dahej project, nearly 260 crore has already been incurred and substantially capitalized. During the quarter, commercial production of Gemcool 5 and Safranal also commenced, while company successfully completed key global quality and compliance audit for the facility. On the phenol derivative side, while the plant remains production ready, ongoing geopolitical issues have significantly increased prices and impacted the availability of the key petrochemical raw materials such as phenol, which in turn has impacted the near-term production line timelines. The company continues to closely monitor the situation and align production plan accordingly. Overall, the company remains focused on improving utilization levels, operational efficiencies, product mix optimization, and disciplined execution over the business. With improving business momentum and gradual ramp-up at the Dahej facility, the company expects operating leverage benefits to further support margin and profitability going forward. With this, we would now like to open the floor for question and answer. Over to you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Deepak Poddar with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, hello.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just first up, on the Dahej plant, I mean, this 260 to 70 crores capex that we have done. So what's the revenue potential out there in that, and what's the utilization level we're targeting for this year, FY27?
Hi, Deepak. We're expecting...
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
We are expecting an asset turn of this, of the capex to be about 3.5 times. So the peak potential revenue is about 800 crores from the new Dahej unit.
Okay. And what's the utilization level targeting for this year?
As we've not given the geopolitical uncertainty and the ramp up of crystal that is about to happen this year, we have cognizantly not given a guidance for the year, but closer to probably H2, we can give you a good utilization number as the plant ramps up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what would be the current utilization level? I mean, what rate we are utilizing right now?
We have just commenced, the entire plant, the entire facility has gone live as we speak, right, in April 2026. So the exact utilization number, it wouldn't be right to see it in that way because it will be like a low number given the denominator is too high. But as it ramps up, it'll be a better place to we'll be in better place to share those numbers, probably towards the mid-year or so on, around H2.
Okay, I got it. And in your last statement, I think you mentioned we expect operating leverage to further support our margins and profitability going up. So anyhow, what's our aspirational margin? I mean, currently, I think it's 14%, right? Is this 14% sustainable, and what would be our aspirational margins?
Hi. Let me answer this question. So, as it said, we are in the process of now ramping up the capacity of crystal. For the next year, our guidance remains at a conservative 700 crore of turnover, and our EBITDA margins would be in the range of about 16% to 18%.
Does that answer your question, Deepak?
No, I think the voice of the management cracked, so I could not hear. That's okay. I mean, you were just requesting management to repeat the last line.
Yeah, so I'm saying for FY28, our target EBITDA in the range of about 16% to 18%.
And top line, 1,050 to 1,100 crores?
Yeah, as of now, that guidance remains.
Okay, and any outlook for FY27?
These are uncertain times. I think we would like to wait for another, you know, few months till this, you know, war-like situation settles down and we get adequate clarity.
Okay, I got it. Okay, that's it from my side. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Omkar Dandekar with 3A Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have one question. Can you share the reason why the result of Q4 were not as good as last year's Q4? As there were expectations that restocking will happen, which was paused.
Yes, Omkar, thank you for the question. So clearly, last year's Q4, which is effectively has been always our Q4s have been our strongest quarters. And clearly export heavy driven, and exports are primarily to the US market. The clarity this year was a unique year that ended where all the different stages of tariffs that were applied at different times. And even throughout February, we had the announcement around early February, then different sub-announcement made by the US government. So the clarity really came towards what the potential tariff situation would be towards the end of February. So that's the reason why you don't see that level of ramp up in the business compared to the previous year in Q4. This quarter onward, we are going to see that a lot of that materializing and up in, so now going forward, there could be a fair amount of comparison and the business momentum is back. We are seeing order and deal flows come through.
Okay. And another question is on what is the price and gross margin difference between synthetic and natural menthol? Can you give us some idea?
So we don't look at it from a standpoint of, it's again the entire mint portfolio that we cater to, and we don't break it up as natural and synthetic. We give a solution to the customers, and that's effectively what we are evaluating a proposal as. And we are doing more than 40 different products just from the mint vertical.
Okay. And one more to add, what is the current scenario related to the GST issue we face? Is our customer changing the blends or are they okay with GST additional cost or the issue hit our business structurally?
Yeah, so the GST, the headwind of GST that had come, you know, is past, and you know we've seen the situation getting back to normal, and you know we're back to what it was prior to the whole GST situation kicking in. So okay. that headwind is gone, and the things are normalized on that front.
So can we again go back to 500 crores kind of revenue from existing business?
Yes. So see, from GEM primarily, FY25 we have done 500 and we have of course expanded our club vertical in crystal. So if you see our mint and club business, of course it will be higher than that, what we have done in FY25 if you combine the both the businesses.
Okay. And on the phenol side, are we looking to import phenol and start production for phenol division? Has our competitors started doing that?
Yes, Omkar. So clearly the plant was ready as of March. We have prepared the catalyst and that's ready. In a very short span, courtesy of the given geopolitical situation that we all are encountering, the prices of key raw materials, effectively such as phenol for us, increased significantly. as a result of which a number of different suppliers worldwide were calling for force majeure or significantly delaying shipments. And that resulted in the spot market clearly driving a lot of demand in the spot market and driving those prices higher. At effectively around March end, we at the management level took a call that to kickstart a complete continuous plan to go ahead and start manufacturing where you require a consistent supply of your raw materials. Maybe a little bit challenging in those uncertain times. And the management felt that it's best for us to wait for some time until things settle down and a new equilibrium level has been pretty much in sight, and we can then use that date and effectively start building the inventory. Because in the spontaneous plans, once you stop, you cannot stop the production process. And if the consistency of the supply in terms of pricing is not available, it becomes a very risky proposition for us to continue. So we decided to intentionally hold off kickstarting the base raw material specifically for this reason. And as a result of which, I believe the clarity will is on the horizon. And by Q1 and Q2 of the following years, we'll have ramp up of these phenol verticals.
Okay, so we can import phenol, no? Hello?
Yeah, so we can import, but the pricing effectively around March, because of the war, had significantly increased. So to start the, and fluctuating continuously. So to kickstart at that elevated price point was a challenge and a risky proposition. And to avoid those inflated raw material prices, we decided to hold off on immediately kickstarting. And we felt that it's best to kickstart once at least things stabilize and a new equilibrium has been. Which we do see that now more or less we are at that stage.
Okay. On phenol derivatives side, how much we will be captively consuming anisole and how much we will be selling the market out of the total capacity, and can you give us the approx idea of a gross margin on anisole?
Yeah, so to the internal, so internal consumption of anisole, we internally thought of like a 50-50, like selling or internally consuming it. Of course, we've not, since it's not started, we've not set a benchmark that this is what we must do, but 50-50 is what we had thought. And on the margins front, we're not guiding on this, on the specific vertical. As Yashji said, we are waiting for the RM margins to stabilize and the production to begin. So, yes.
Okay. And one more question.
Ungar, I would request you to rejoin the queue for any more questions. Thank you. Participants, in the interest of time and fairness to others, please restrict yourselves to two questions. For any more questions, you may rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So in Q4, our revenues have almost halved. So can you help me understand what were the volumes in Q4 this year versus last year? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hi.
So, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so the volumes, particularly in the mints, so primarily the dip is because, you know, the mint segment, you know, due to the tariffs, there was a significant volume dip due to the mint exports. Hence, that is what attributes to the dip in the revenue as compared to the last year. You know, Q4, last year was a very good year and mint was you know, a significant contributor of the total revenue. Given the, you know, export uncertainties, that portion has gone down, which resulted in you know, the reduction in revenue. So that of course is the main contributor, but as Yashji said, like currently as we speak, the business momentum is strong and we see those orders coming back and the momentum picking up on that front.
Got it. So what was the contribution of Mint in Q4 FY25, and if you can help me with the capacity utilization in Q4 FY25 versus Q4 FY26?
So see, as we've maintained, product-wise, contribution is something that we have not been disclosing as a company, but I can just review at a company level. At GEM, the utilization level was about 80 or slightly north of 80 last year, but this year it dipped to about 60 to 65 at a GEM level, which is a dip we saw primarily due to Mint.
Got it. So in Q4, was it just volume degrowth or did we see a fall in realizations also, which led to...
Primarily volume, both, but volume primarily.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shreyans Jain with SJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
So I have a few questions. First, company has installed largest capacity in cooling agents in India, which is almost 10% volume capacity of global volumes. What was the strategy behind it to play? Was it to play China plus one, as China has almost 50% share? Or are we seeing any demand? Can it replace methanol if the realization are more than 3.5 times? Sir?
Okay, so let me answer that question. So a little bit of correction there. Yeah, replace menthol, that I believe is what you were trying to get to. But
menthol.
So the reason why we selected cooling agents, right? The Rattel, I believe that's the first part of the question. So it's a forward integration measure for us. Why from the Mint vertical, where we are manufacturing menthol and then forwarding that into cooling agents. A lot of our customers in oral care also use these compounds, use these ingredients in their compounds globally. So that is the primary reason why we decided to go in. The second rationale is in the adjacent sector of confectionery, where you have to, where you have cooling applications required for uses such as chewing gums, this has a very high impact molecule. From China, you have tariffs. In India to the US, this is a tariff exempt product. So these were the reasons why we decided to start and get into the entire cooling agent vertical. Now, in terms of the application, whether it can replace menthol, the answer to that question is it can act as a booster in the final formulation mix. So to some percentage, depending on the application, the cooling agent solutions can effectively increase the efficacy of the desired cooling that is required. And that's where the customers, to some volume, it cannot be a 100% replacement, but to some degree, depending on the applications, the replacement is very much possible, or in coalition with menthol, this could be further used. So we are extremely bullish about this product, and we feel that this is something with increasing times. Even in right now, the major application is outside India, but within India too, in the near years, we will see an expansion in demand. And the uses of this will increase.
Thank you so much, sir, for the detailed explanation. My last question would be, a competitor, Vinity Organics, is facing some problems in scaling and stabilizing MHQ and Gycal products. So are we technically ready to scale same and other products, sir?
So I can't comment about any other manufacturer in the market. I can speak about our own production, which is we are confident on our plant and capacity, and we have been qualified by a handful of customers regarding the quality of our product. And as we ramp up, our team is confident about scaling up and delivering the numbers.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankush Mahajan with Sanctum Wealth. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. In the last quarter, our gross profit is that has increased. The material cost is 69%. What was the reason behind it, and what's your outlook on the menthol prices, although they have elevated?
Repeat the question. It was not very clear to us.
This time gross profit is high. That gross margins are high in the last quarter. So what was the reason behind it, and what is the outlook on the menthol prices, although they have elevated?
Hello. So if your question is that why did the margins shoot up to 30%, is it?
Sir, this is material cost is 69%, which is lower as compared to the last quarter.
I'm sorry, we're not able to understand the question, sir. If you can,
Ankush, could you please change your location and repeat yourself? Also, use your phone on your handset mode in case if you are on a wireless mode.
So, shall I come later?
Yes, you can do that. The next question comes from the line of Manan Shah with 3A Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. My first question is, on the new products, all the phenol-based products, our strategy was to first push it to all the distributors and MGMs. So, I know the production is ready, but not yet started. So, what is the feedback of all the distributors and everyone on the new products?
See, today in any product cycle that you start, the distributors or traders that you're primarily referring to are the ones who have approved our samples. They are ready to order as if the terms of commercial agreement, there is a meeting of the minds. So in terms of product qualification, there is no challenge there. Our product has been qualified by a number of distributors / traders that we are trying to work with globally.
Okay, so currently the only issue is the phenol prices. If the prices are cooled down, then we can start full-fledged.
Correct. Or at least cool down, or at least they find an equilibrium.
Okay. And if this war situation ends in FY27, so how confident are we to achieve our guidance in FY28?
It is something that is always... We would like to say that there are external factors. There is a lot of geopolitical uncertainty. In terms of the quality of the product, in terms of engagement with the customers, in terms of seeing the kind of interest that they have, we are confident on all those points. Clearly, geopolitical events are outside anyone's control, and that could be the only rationale where we may see some challenges. But barring on whatever we can control to a reasonable extent, we are taking all the necessary efforts to control and deliver on those points.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kamlesh Bagmar with Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, just harping on the same similar point, like we had exports to USA at roughly around 30-odd%, while our revenue has declined roughly around 46-odd%. So even if the exports to US become zero, which I don't think would have, even then it doesn't explain this 45-46% decline in revenues. So what has drove this significant fall on year-over-year basis? Because now with this geopolitical issue or the like raw material availability and prices, it could hinder our growth prospects for at least next 6-odd months. And with now the process of approvals and all that also would get delayed. So don't you think that FY27 could be a replica of FY26?
Your voice cut out there for a little bit. If you can, I've got majority of the question down, but intermittently yeah. For about a few seconds, your voice cut out.
Yeah. So I am saying that because of this raw material availability issue and prices part as well, so the product approval would also get delayed from the customer side. So don't you think that FY26 could be replica, FY27 could be replica of FY26? And lastly, like just comparing the results year-over-year, I believe 30% was the share of exports to USA. Even if it becomes zero, then this significant fall of 45% doesn't explain that. So if you can highlight on that particular part, both these two questions.
30% is the total all year export or for all quarters combined to the USA. That's point one. The dip in revenue that you are speaking about, I believe, is comparing Q4 FY25 to Q4 FY26. Now, historically, we have always been H2 heavy, and in that, the Q4 for the past number of years has been always the most heavy, and especially to the USA market. So majority, because that's the beginning of the year, they are getting all set up. So we have maximum order execution happening in our Q4, which is January to March. That's the reason why, when you're comparing the 30% number and you're talking about 45, it's an, and I think, not exactly an apple to apple comparison. So that's point one. Point two, that you have specifically asked about how would largely the entire FY27 versus FY26 look. So we feel that there is a major, with the tariffs out, which was a major reason for the reduction in our exports to the US, with that rationale out and the new production capacity that is kicking in at different stages throughout this particular year, and the value-added portfolio that we have, FY27 should be more or less in line in terms of how we are scaling up, and much better and closer to FY25 versus FY26.
Okay. And can you highlight, like, say, what was the share of exports in this quarter and for the year as a whole to the US?
Sorry, your line is very feeble, so I can't hear you.
I am asking that what is the share of the exports in this quarter and the full financial year to US?
To USA specifically. So we can come back to you on the exact US numbers, but this year domestically we've done better. Like, the export import split is 44% exports and 56% domestic for FY26. For US specifically, we'll just get back to you on the Q4 exact number for that, for USA.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Guneet Singh with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, thank you for the follow-up. So you've mentioned that FY27 would be more to like FY25 in terms of the standalone business. So, I mean, would you like to give some guidance in terms of the EBITDA margins and the revenues for the standalone business in FY27, looking at the current scenario, the geopolitical tension? So can we expect to reach around 15-17% EBITDA margins and around 500 crore revenues?
At this stage for FY27, like I mentioned in one of the answers earlier, we are controlling whatever we can possibly control, right? In terms of getting the production, getting the right quality, getting it approved by customers globally, all those points are great. There are clearly uncertain times in considering multiple wars that are being fought all over the world, and the raw material situation is stressed. So it will be difficult for us to give a FY27 guidance at this stage. As we have discussed throughout this call, it will be much better placed probably a quarter or maybe 2 quarters from now for us to give you an FY27 guidance.
Got it. I was specifically talking about the standalone business, not the new line. So for the new line that's coming up right now, you mentioned that we took some delays because of higher phenol prices. So, I mean, even if we operated, for example, during the current scenarios, the kind of products that we are producing from that line, what kind of a gross margin, I mean, range, would the current players be making in the current scenario? If you can help me understand that.
So we could certainly be closer and in line with that. But as you see, the macros worldwide are clearly high inflation, especially in the Western Hemisphere. So there could be potentially some major demand side requirements that are difficult for us to anticipate at this very junction and give you a clarity upon. So that's just one factor that is continuously that we have to be careful and mindful and observing consistently. In terms of demands and how we are seeing things as of right now, we are positive that things are moving in the right direction for the standalone business.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shreyansh Jain with SJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the follow-up.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Shreyansh. You're not audible at all.
Hello.
Be a little louder. Yes, please.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the follow-up. So we make both synthetic as well as natural products. So can we replace volumes of synthetic to natural products, or do we need to add additional equipment to shift from synthetic to natural products?
Yes. So like I said, we don't give a breakup between natural and synthetic product on the application. We are a complete solution provider. We offer both types of products to our customers worldwide, depending on what their needs are. In some of the products that we are using, the pretty much the same set of hardware can do both natural and synthetic. In some cases, we may have to install additional hardware. But then again, we are in 70 SKUs in the standalone business itself. So very difficult to kind of give you a product by product, SKU by SKU breakup of what's possible and what's not. But largely, I think the key takeaway here should be that we are focused on providing the holistic solution to customers. And we have good degree of fungibility in providing so.
Perfect, sir. And one last question. In the RHP and investor presentation, the company has mentioned that the Dahej facility has manufacturing capabilities that can be deployed across varied models like CRO, CMO, and CDMO. Can you help us understand in what products and how?
Yes. So, like I said, right? So, CMO and CDMO, currently the factory is undergoing audits by various certifying agencies. A host of different customers at different stages are putting us through their entire audit/evaluation process. We believe a significant portion of this activity in terms of qualification of the plant will get over in the next 2 quarters. And leading towards this is with all the multipurpose capacity that we have established, the objective is to start catering to CMO and CDMO services.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manan Shah with 3A Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up question. So, we increased our promoter holding by 2% in March month. So, are you planning to increase it more?
So, we can't comment on this, Manan, unfortunately. But clearly, at this stage, whatever we have purchased is in public domain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yash Parekh for the closing remarks.
Thank you. Before we conclude, I would like to once again thank all our investors, analysts, customers, business partners, and employees for their continued trust and support. Q4 FY26 marked a quarter of sequential improvement for the company, supported by improving business momentum, better customer engagement, and gradual recovery in the operating environment. At the same time, we continue to make steady progress in scaling up our Dahej facility, expanding our specialty product portfolio, and strengthening our position across global markets. While near-term challenges such as geopolitical uncertainties and raw material volatility continue to persist, particularly in the phenol derivative segment. We remain fully focused on monitoring industry developments and aligning our execution strategy accordingly. We believe the long-term fundamentals of the specialty ingredients and specialty chemicals industry remain strong, supported by increasing global demand, diversification opportunities, and growing customer focus on reliable and compliant manufacturing partners. Going forward, our focus remains on improving utilization levels, scaling high-value products, strengthening customer relations, and driving sustainable growth with disciplined execution. With the strategic investments and capabilities built over the last few years, we believe Gem Aromatics is well positioned for its next phase of growth and long-term value creation. Thank you once again for joining us today, and we look forward to interacting with you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Gem Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.